Host of Unsportsmanlike.
Jim Rutledge responded to CeCe. Now, Jim, I've known for 20 years. Jim is a Bears fan from Wisconsin.
How does that work?
How?
Proud UW-Madison alum.
I think I am going to take the entire ESPN Madison content team, and I'm going to do Badger trivia with them. This is a disgrace.
It's Evan Cohen on Mully and Jim.
Love you all. Bye. Yes.
How little does Molly listen to Unsportsmanlike?
Stop.
What was the question that you asked?
I said, oh, Evan talked about you on Unsportsmanlike? That's amazing.
I think a year ago today or something like that. But Evan Cohen joins us now on the Yuengling Guest Hotline. Yuengling, the oldest brewery in America, now officially in Wisconsin. DG Yuengling and Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly. This is a Thirsty Thursday brought to you by our good friends at Dancing Goat Distillery.
I do just want to say I do listen on Sportsmanlike because I do have an Evan Cohen impersonation. So
go ahead and do it.
I think I've told you it before, Evan, but maybe you like didn't hear it because that might have been the day that you were passing us around at the draft. So it was a little bit chaotic. But every morning at 6:45, yes, each and every day. That's what you do.
Oh, that. Okay. Yeah. No. The way you said that was odd.
Yeah, it was a little bit odd.
What?
Yeah. You passed this around at the NFL draft.
I meant like on the phone. You passed the phone around at the draft. Like, we weren't a past app.
Well, I appreciate, yes, that is exactly what I do at that time when I lead into that for I'm
just
over it.
But every day.
Whether you listen to me or not and to us or not, it doesn't matter because I sure as hell listen to you.
Oh.
And we.
Oh, Miami Heat fan.
We have.
Okay, so Miami Heat fans loved me last week. Loved me. Like, I had.
Brother, that was the weirdest thing for me was two things. All of these NBA sites and social media handles, the aggregation sites that are all, I think they're awesome as long as they're doing it the right way, right? Yeah. That I follow and I obsess over. The fact, like, the two big themes of people that were themes for the week were Molly Brown and Ben Brust. Like, I didn't want to tell them. They don't know what they're talking about. This is not like science cursing. These are just two, well, one great person and Ben with opinions, right? These are just people with opinions. This is not, I know Molly long enough. Molly's giving informed opinions. Molly's not claiming to be an insider or a reporter on the Bucks.
Nope.
This is her skilled, talented opinions based on years being in and around sports in the state of Wisconsin. But this is not like Molly Brown says. No, Molly Brown just giving an opinion what Molly's doing. But it went all over the place.
I have not read things because it makes me insecure.
You're not the one being called bald every day, so that's
Well, you're true. Literally bald.
I know, but how many people have pointed out on the internet because they don't like what I have to say.
They also say that he's the first bald person they've seen with a widow's peak.
I don't even understand that, but
savage.
All right, can you restate what your shot was this week at the Giannis led? Well, Giannis. I don't know if Giannis is the leader of the team. He's the best player of the team, but the Giannis. Let's just call it the Giannis led Miami Heat.
My biggest takeaway is that Giannis going to Miami rather than a team like Boston, which was being floated around last week, is he's not going to Miami to win a championship. I don't know how this Miami roster, as it's currently constructed, can win a championship. Now, I will say the thing that Heat fans loved me for last week was that I said that Eric Spoelstra is an unbelievable coach, which I think is still true. And I think that it's going to be incredible to see Giannis with a coach like that, especially through all the different trials and all the things that have happened with however many last head coaches that the Milwaukee Bucks have had. So I'm excited to see that. And I do think that they will have success together in some capacity, but I don't think that they're winning a title.
Okay. Oh boy. All right.
Oh my God. I'm nervous.
So let's just think about what you just said. So when this version of this team that has been a thorn in the Bucks' side for a long time, when this version of this group was started, it was started in the mid to late 90s. Why do I bring it up that way? In 2003, when they drafted Dwayne Wade, and then in 2005, when they acquired Shaq, and then in 2010, when they brought in LeBron James, Chris Bosh, and re-signed Dwayne Wade. And then in 2019, when they brought in Jimmy Butler, or 20, whatever it was. And then in 2026, and they brought in Giannis. Okay, all those moves. mm-hmm. all the same people. There has not been one change, not one. It's the same team president in Pat Riley. It's the same two right-hand men for him in terms of a guy by the name of Andy Ellisberg, who's a cap whiz, and a guy by the name of Adam Simon, who's basically his scouting guy right next to him. And it is the same former video coordinator for most of this time, not all of it, for most of it in Eric Spoelstra that has been the head coach. So when people go historically, well, when the Packers did this with Favre or this with Rodgers, or when the Badgers did this with Barry, those people that were doing the this are not there now. In the case of the Heat, the same guy that drafted Dwayne, that traded for LeBron and for Bosh and re-signed Wade and traded for Shaq and traded for Butler, the same people are doing this. And every one of those has led to, worst case scenario, a spot in the NBA Finals. So why is it, would you think, that Giannis could not be the best player on a team with a significantly better organization getting to at least the finals with the same people that always get to the finals?
Okay, so those are all very true things. And incredible history that they've had. Don't get me wrong. And yes, they are a better run organization than the Milwaukee Bucks, right? But like, what moves are they going to make, and do you trust them to make, in order to make Giannis a championship contender with the Miami Heat again? Like, I understand that those are moves, but like, they haven't done anything in the last couple years.
The first question is insanely fair. What moves do you expect them to make him a champion again? Insanely fair question. The second part, do I trust them to do it? I would trust them to do literally anything. Like, you name anything to run the board today for your show. To literally fix my car. To get my kids to camp. If I have a headache, to come up with a medicine to fix it. I would trust this group of people to make me dinner tonight. I would trust them to do anything. So when you're saying, do I trust this organization? Yeah, because I've seen them do it time after time after time. I saw them turn the mishmash of whatever it was when Shaq got there into white chocolate Jason Williams, into Antoine Walker, into James Posey, into former Buck Gary Payton. I saw that, right? And then I saw them turn Carlos Arroyo and Zydrunas Ilgauskas and Eric Dampier into former Buck Ray Allen, into Shane Battier, into Mike Miller, into Rashard Lewis. And then I saw them go to the finals, not once, but twice, with guys around Jimmy Butler that weren't even drafted, in Max Strus and Gabe Vincent and Caleb Martin and Udonis, who was there the entire time for all of this. In what scenario would I not trust them? Giannis just walked into an organization where he doesn't even need to know where Pat Riley's office is, because he knows he's going to get him dogs. He's not getting him guys that may or may not show up, that are late. They won't allow him to be late. They'll leave without him. Giannis will be in Miami when the Heat's in Milwaukee. He ain't showing up 2 hours late. No chance.
So that's what did you get a chance to read the Burton Book article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel? And I mean that complimentary about Giannis in the Milwaukee. The Burton Book article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where they detailed the disaster that the Milwaukee Bucks organization has been.
My sweat, by the way.
Yeah, the disaster that they have.
It's the Heat culture.
Right.
Well, pouring out of you.
Evan never sweats, and you got him to sweat, Molly, with how upset he is. So, but basically, it broke down what a dysfunction the Milwaukee Bucks had been since they won a title. And ironically, Pat Riley's disease of more popped into my head as far as that's what they all suffered from, that they all wanted more leeway, more minutes, more fame, more money, all these sorts of things, and the whole thing fell apart. But the thing that stood out to me with Giannis was a massive part of it, and I want to talk about the Bucks angle of it in a minute, but for Giannis and Heat culture, I'll be honest that the last couple of years, the stuff that's been reported about him and the stuff that just came out in the article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, I think it's going to be harder than he thinks to fit into Heat culture. I think he thinks he's in Heat culture, but I don't think he understands what Heat culture is. So can you define it for us first?
That's fair, Jim. What you're saying is very fair. I want to go back to one thing, and I want to hit on what you just said. That is an unbelievably fair hypothetical assessment because we haven't seen it play out yet, right?
Yep.
So what Molly has made me do is something that I wasn't interested in doing, but it's almost equated to like, well, yeah, but baseball arbitration. Like when a player goes to with a team, let's say the Miz goes to arbitration with the Brewers because he wants $10 a year and they want to pay him $8 a year. And what the Brewers then have to do is say to the arbitrator, well, here's why he's not as good, so we don't have to pay him $10 a year. See, I don't like what I just did because I actually do think the Milwaukee Bucks tried to do everything they possibly could in the years after they won the title and were as creative as any team I've ever seen in coming up with weird cockamamie ways of trying to help out. So you just made me argue against the Bucks. I want to be clear. I'm arguing for the Heat more than I'm arguing against the Bucks. Now, Jim and Molly, you guys would know this way better than I would. And Jim is in a very unique circumstance here because Jim covered the aforementioned Miami Heat and obviously has been talking about the Milwaukee Bucks, in Wisconsin for a decade plus, longer, probably 2 decades almost at this point. So I don't know how different it is. My assumption is his individual mentality and work ethic would fit with theirs. But I guess none of us will know until you see it. But I almost look at it this way. It's almost like whenever something is stale in life, you just kind of let it sit and you don't have the newness. I would assume the newness version of Giannis that got him to a champion fits in with what Miami does on a daily basis. And this mate, I'm not calling him stale, nor am I calling the Bucks, but maybe the partnership got stale over the last year and thus the leeway was taken. I think he knows what he's signing up for, though. And I think his agent, who's also Bam's agent, knows what he's signing up for. And I think former Buck and Racine native, Caron Butler, probably who's an assistant with the Heat, has probably told him what he's signing up for. And in fact, may have told him about it when Giannis was a rookie, when Caron was there. So I think there's a lot of like, oh, you know how you guys would practice an hour and a half every other day? Yeah, they practice 3 hours every day. And they practice with basically helmets and shoulder pads on. A little difference.
I do think, and I've said this earlier this week as this trade unfolded, but like I do think that there's something to be said about a change of scenery that could change how Giannis is. And it could give him that little jolt of motivation when he does go somewhere else. But I did hear Chris Canty talking on your show earlier this week. And I guess I'm going to like summarize in my own words what he said, and maybe I'm wrong in how I perceive this, but essentially he was saying, you know, all those guys that you listed off earlier, right? LeBron, Shaq, all of those guys that have played in Miami, they've all won a championship. Where if Giannis doesn't win a championship there, is it a failure?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like Jimmy Butler will look at his, Marquette's own, will look at his time as a failure. And he played the best basketball of his life, and mm-hmm. he got to 2 finals. I mean, there's conversation as to, you're going to think I'm nuts, but there's conversation as to whether or not LeBron lived up to it in Miami. And undoubtedly, the best basketball that man ever played in his life, the second greatest player ever, arguably, was in Miami.
Yeah.
Like, there is an argument, did he not do enough? Now, I would say he did-ish. He overpromised and underdelivered, and I was there when he did the not one, not two, not three. I was in the building for that. It was one of the greatest celebrations of a non-sporting event, sporting event I've ever seen. He should have won the first one and shouldn't have won the third one, probably, if you look at it, the Ray Allen shot. So maybe 2 is probably the right amount, but maybe they won the wrong 2 if you're going to look at it that way. He promised 6 or 7. He stayed 4 years and he won 2. So undoubtedly, if Giannis signs the extension and they don't win a championship, that is a failed project together with Giannis and the Heat, because we're talking about 2 former champions. We're talking about an owner of a team, and Mickey Arison, majority governor, and Nick Arison, his son, who basically runs the team now. They've won championships. Pat Riley's won championships. Andy Ellisberg, the general manager, has won championships. And Eric Spoelstra, the head coach, has won championships. And now the best player has won championships. Why would we not think they could do it again? So if you don't do it, it is a bust.
So who are some players then that you realistically think that the Miami Heat could bring in order to help Giannis win?
So here's the problem with this. I could give you names, They're not names that are household names. You're going to laugh and say, see, this is my point. So let's do it this way. Let me re-ask the question back to you instead of getting into the nitty-gritty of the players. If they win a championship within the first 2 or 3 years, is it the right move for him, or does it have to be 1 or 2 for you?
I mean, I don't even know if I see him playing for 3 years. Is that crazy? I mean, he's what, 31 right now, 32?
If you want to say he wasn't playing at the same level, I would agree with you, but...
Realistically, for Giannis to be happy, I think he has to win year 1 or year 2, which I hate saying that because I think that year 1, that is absolutely crazy, though, because, but like, I also like to be realistic of like, they have to have, because you have to have time to gel as a team. And I understand that the NBA season is a long season in terms of sports, but like, to me, that first year is such a learning experience. So, like, I don't think it's fair necessarily, but in order for him to be happy.
Jimmy Butler got to the finals with them in his first year. Shaq got to the finals with them in his second year. LeBron, Wade, and Bosch got to the finals in their first year together. So, like, not for this franchise. That's what they do, right? And plus, sure. Like, I'll ask you guys a question, a compare and contrast question. What is the identity of the Green Bay Packers right now? What's the identity of the team?
I mean, I think we talked about this like 2 weeks ago, and I don't know if they have one.
Okay. Well, this group in Miami with the Heat has not played a game yet. And the identity is they should be the best defensive team in the NBA.
Yep.
Like, I know the identity. They have not played a game. We don't know who's on the team. We know the two guys who are definitively going to be on the team in Giannis and Bam. Mm-hmm. And I have no doubt as to what the identity is and what the goal is. The goal will be to hold people under 105 points on a nightly or whatever the number would be on a nightly basis, and doing it in a way where they want to pummel you and be nasty. And if they have this guy, Davion Mitchell, still on the team, whose nickname is Off Night, because guys, when he's guarding them, have an off night, right? Yeah. And if Bobby Portis, we know when he's at his best, wants to play a physical brand of basketball. I understand he's not Dennis Rodman defensively, but okay, you understand that. If Andrew Wiggins comes back, former number one overall pick in the draft, is a very good defensive player. Upon arrival, Molly, I know their identity. I know what they're going to be. And Giannis knows exactly what he signed up for. History does not always indicate what's going to happen now or in the future, because all that's the same in sports usually is the laundry. In this case, all that's the same is everyone that runs this team.
So
it's so unique in that way.
Speaking of running a team, and kind of getting back to the article from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, there was lots of things that, as we look forward as Bucks fans, concern me as far as, do we trust the Bucks? So that's honestly the question we have, is do we trust the Bucks in general? And one of the things that stood out to me from the article, because it involved John Horst and involved Jimmy Haslam a little bit, and it just speaks to bad process at a bare minimum, is I think this was kind of reported when it happened, but the reminder that the Bucks basically had to beg Doc Rivers to do the job, and he turned him down once, if not twice, and then finally took the job, and then they were surprised that he wasn't like all in on the job. The fact that they were revisiting someone who told them they don't want to do it, to me, I guess, as we tie it to the Heat, is the exact opposite of the culture that the Bucks need to build here. So I am worried about the front office and ownership, because I don't have a lot of faith that this is going to be run properly, and the only thing good is going to happen will be accidentally.
I think it's very fair, right? I think it's very fair for you to say that, right? And I think you could say, like, be realistic. Everything that's great that has happened with the Milwaukee Bucks over the last 15 years has been directly tied to the presence of Giannis. Like, everything. There's a new downtown Deer District because of Giannis. There's a championship because of Giannis. And interestingly enough, if I'm going to be simultaneously, maybe, I don't know if critical is the right word, but let's call it critical and praise my team, the Heat, at the same time with this, everything over the last 20 years, up until Giannis, has been a direct result of Dwayne Wade. Everything. Right? Another Marquette guy. Like, if you really think about it, why did Shaq want to go to the Heat? Wade. Why did LeBron and Bosch want to go to the Heat? Wade. Why did Udonis Haslam take less money, Jim knows, every year. Every year the guy would take, basically paid them to play at one point. He would take less money every year. Why? Wait, why did Butler, Marquette connection, show up? Do you know that in the last game of Dwayne Wade's career at home was, I believe, 2019 against the Philadelphia 76ers, okay? And they had this big Dwayne Wade last home game party. Well, who was on the Sixers that year that went to the Heat party that night? Jimmy Butler, okay? So this is the first move in the Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra combo era, not Mourning and not Hardaway prior, that is not a direct result of Dwayne Wade. So that's now, I say that, Jim, to answer the question this way. When you say, do you trust the Bucks? I don't know what the Bucks are. What they were is an organization led by Giannis, and they were really smart in trying to capitalize around everything he was, internationally, locally, statewide. This is this group's first opportunity with Wes Edens, and now obviously Jimmy Haslam and all the people involved. This is their first opportunity to stand on their own without a clear-cut face of the franchise MVP and see who can produce as a result. So do you trust them? No, because there's no reason to yet. There's no reason to or not to because we don't know.
Okay, so based on what the Milwaukee Bucks got back in the trade, what are your thoughts on that? Like, is it a good... Like, I feel like the general consensus that I've seen is that the Bucks didn't get a great, you know, thing and players to build around and everything. But I'm just curious, like, as a guy who knows the players that they got, like, is it good, bad, ugly? I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much watch every game that every one of these guys has ever played that they got back. So Tyler Hero, people in Wisconsin know, obviously. Tyler Hero looks like he's going to be going out to a club every night. And if a club is a – hold on, looks like. If a club is a random high school basketball gym at 11 o'clock at night with a trainer sweating his butt off, working till he can't work anymore, that's where he goes. Tyler Hero looks like he may not work. Tyler Hero works like a madman. So, like, blue collar, great people in the great state of Wisconsin, if he's there, will understand, like, he's trying. He's doing everything he can. He's going to score 20 points a game and shoot close to 40% from three, okay? Jaime Jaquez Jr.
Love him.
Starts sweating before a game starts because he does not stop working. He plays his absolute butt off. I love Jaime Jaquez Jr. You want to talk about guys, like there's a thing in the NBA kind of conversation that goes on right now that I really do like. Bill Simmons, I think, of The Ringer is the one who kind of started this. Could you plop a player into the most recent finals and see them playing, like the way the finals are playing out? Jaime Jaquez could have played in the NBA finals, would not have been played off the court. Tyler may have been because of the physicality and the defense. Kalel Ware should be not good. He should be great. But he needs to be great all the time. And the biggest knock on Kalel Ware is Eric Spoelstra, as Molly said, the best coach in the league, did not have him in the rotation at all times. I would have. I think he's really good. He's not Wemby. But I've been saying it this way. If you squint and you pretend you're watching Wemby, he does Wemby-ish things in terms of being able to shoot the three, tall, skinny, can pass, the whole deal. Yashikonis is nothing yet, but if you physically look at – I don't mean that in an insult. I mean, he was a rookie last year. If you look at his body, like look at the pictures when he came out of Illinois versus the way he is now. He's jacked now. Another guy that just – they got a bunch of guys that are going to be working for the Milwaukee Bucks and trying their butts off. They didn't get – what where's, I guess, the question mark in that? But superstars? No. Mm-hmm. Future all-stars? Can't go there yet. Rotation players upon arrival? Absolutely.
So the last thing I have for you is that you mentioned the mural that Giannis had and what he meant to the city of Milwaukee. And we were chatting pre-show, and I'll put the parameters on here, is that I think during Giannis's peak, he was obviously the most popular person in Milwaukee, even if you like included, as far as sports, included like Aaron Rodgers. That Aaron Rodgers was less popular in Milwaukee than Giannis at certain points. And so I wanted to ask the question, because I don't think it'll be Jordan Love, who is the new face of Milwaukee sports? Because it is somewhat different sometimes. Giannis was a Milwaukee Buck, and Green Bay Packers are a state team. And I have a couple names, but I wanted to kind of see from your perspective, who do you think could be a leader in a clubhouse to be the next big face of Milwaukee sports?
Okay, let me just add to the caveat so I understand it better. Yep. So obviously anybody Badgers, like if it was Greg Gard, Luke Fickell, we would say that's Madison or State.
Yep.
Packers, you're saying State.
Yeah, because I don't think Jordan Love, even if how popular he is, I think
you're influencing his decision too.
But I was just saying, like in the example, I think that Giannis is bigger. What's that?
Isn't it Miz?
Yeah, I mean that's where I lean towards. But I didn't know if there was someone we're missing.
I mean, my brain goes to Pat Murphy. I feel like he's such a figure in the community, such a figure in the state that to me he's huge. And honestly, I think more people know who Pat Murphy is versus the Miz. If you're not completely dialed into baseball.
Well, do the supermarket test. You're walking down the aisle at a supermarket. Do you automatically recognize Miz? So no Brewers gear on.
I think he recognizes height. I don't know. And then that guy's probably an athlete.
Then like Yelich should be on this list.
See, Yelich to me for sure. He's an A-lister in my mind in this state. In Milwaukee,
and he's been there how long now? Close to a decade?
Long time.
Yeah. Yeah, and so he has been, and he is kind of the...
How tall is Miz? I didn't even know how tall he was. What's he listed at?
Ryan, how tall is Miz?
He's like 6'7", right?
6'7",
that's what I thought.
Yeah.
6'7".
That was a good one.
Yes. So I was surprised earlier when Molly didn't do 6'7".
Myself back. I was like, nope.
But Yelich has been kind of the face of the Brewers because they lose so many stars, and he's been the one that they had. And then, obviously...
2018 he got there.
So, yeah, because Braun was the guy, and obviously... He's been gone for a while, and then Yelich has been the guy. And honestly, he's easy to get behind because he had all his injuries, and he's worked his way back to being as good as he can be. So I think it's Yelich or Miz. Murphy's interesting.
It's three Milwaukee Brewers on the low end before we get to a buck.
For sure.
Easy, yeah.
What about Shaka?
Nobody's.
Ooh.
Yeah. Milwaukee would know him. Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
So you're probably closing in on at least five people before you get to a buck in terms of face of Milwaukee sports. I would just say this: if Tyler ends up playing for the Bucks, he'll get in there because he'll embrace 4-1. Like he'll go lean in on the 4-1-4 part of it. He's already tweeted that. Like, I think Tyler's going to be there for a decade? No. Do I think Do I think if he's there for a little bit, I think he's going to lean into like how much he loves being there, and I think people will rightfully appreciate that. Until they trade him at the deadline.
I just wonder, and this is probably too in the weeds, but I do know there are some Badger fans who are never going to root for Tyler Hero.
Wasn't it kind of the same thing with like Grayson Allen? Everybody hated Grayson Allen.
Tyler Hero's a little different because he...
Totally different reasons. Totally different. He spurned Wisconsin.
Yes.
He didn't go to Wisconsin.
Yeah. And I'm not in that group, but there's definitely... Because he wouldn't have worked at Wisconsin. Like, he would not have worked in that system. What he did was the right decision for himself. And, yeah, the Badgers would have been better for it, but he wouldn't have had the one and done and gone to the pros.
I don't know if Evan knows how much you hate Tyler Hero, though.
Yeah, he's AAU basketball personified. And I don't think the city of Milwaukee, if you see a lot of the tweets, fans are like, don't get Kyle Kuzma out of here and get Tyler Hero out of here. Those are the two guys that people don't want on the team.
They want to be there together, I can tell you that much.
Yeah, right. Molly informed me of that. So
juicy.
Spicy.
Pop culture.
I
think you're wrong. I understand what you're saying. That's you watching Tyler like one or two games a year.
Yeah,
I watched him 82 games for the last 6 years. Well, he doesn't play 82, but I watch him every game he's played for the last 6 years, basically. Like, he tries hard. He's not good on defense, but he legit tries hard. He's legit gotten better. He's a three-level scorer. I just have a tremendous amount of appreciation for how hard he worked for that franchise. How he withstood every trade. Like, he's been traded 1,000 times before he actually got traded the first time.
Do you dislike anybody on the Miami Heat? Like, I think you are a fan of everybody on the Heat.
I was not a Hassan Whiteside guy after a while. He drove me insane.
Okay. That's one.
A lot of people want Duncan Robinson back. I'm not in the camp of that at this point.
There was a William Tausch listener that said that he was in the city of Milwaukee a couple weeks ago.
Duncan was?
Yeah, apparently, according to a William Tausch listener. I don't know if it's true. I have no idea.
He's tall, but otherwise he's pretty generic looking.
It could have been Miz.
Yeah.
White and tall. I don't know.
Yeah.
there have been guys on the team. But Molly, here's the thing. There have definitely been guys on the team that I have not been a fan of. But I just know this. You're asking me about the guys they're getting. And I'm just telling you, if you're not getting a superstar, what do you want? You want to watch a game and feel like you're getting max effort.
True.
You don't want a non-superstar mm-hmm. being lackadaisical. Mm-hmm. Like, if Micah Parsons takes second down off because he's exhausted, you don't care. Whatever. Because on third down, he'll have a sack.
Totally.
And then on first down of the next series, he'll have a sack. So you're getting guys in Milwaukee that are not superstars. So I better see that they work hard. And that's what I'm telling you. You're going to see guys that are going to work their butts off for the Milwaukee.
All right, last thing, because I forgot about it earlier. Have you ever been hit or almost hit by a ball at a game? Because it happened. I almost got hit yesterday. Nobody warned me. And I almost got tattooed with
three people yelled, Jim, and you didn't look up till the
Jim was distracted by all the Miami Heat fans coming after me.
But I almost got hit with a soccer ball yesterday at the rally game here in Madison. We went team outing. And I still believe that Big Papa Ashton purposely didn't tell me because he wanted me to get hit because it would have been good content. But
great content.
Have you ever been either hit or almost? He's not wrong. I wouldn't have begrudged him it. But have you ever been hit or almost hit at a game?
I definitely haven't been hit at a game by a ball. I probably have been almost hit by a baseball, foul ball. You know, my claim to fame, though, in that regard, third grade baseball, my son, years ago, two foul balls to the crowd. I caught both of them. No glove.
Oh, okay. All right.
Big time.
So cool.
There you go. Well, on that note, we'll let you ice your hand and get back the rest of your day.
Yeah. I did once cut my finger open on a lobster. That was tough.
Oh, that is tough. That's the. Were you sweating too from how hard
that's
you worked?
That's why you don't eat food that you have to work for. You just don't do it.
It's lobster, Molly.
She doesn't like seafood.
No, I don't like seafood.
Oh God! Goodbye. Yeah. I'm out of here. See.
All right, Molly. As Evan leaves, you'll be driving home in a Metro Kia.
Oh, I will be, and I just got my oil changed today. They did my tire rotation when I went to visit my friends at Metro Kia of Madison. So, if you are looking for a new vehicle or a new to you vehicle, or even just to get some service done on your car, they do excellent work at Metro Kia, and they are the team that I trust. So, head over to MetroKiaofMadison.com to check out what they've got online.
Oi. Metro Kia of Madison. Oi.
You're hanging out with Molly and Jim on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app.